Who'd have thought it, Warlow datavised? Me, an Edenist. Joshua had never felt so pathetically worthless as he did then. He's my crewman. The bomb exploded. It sent a flat circle of sheer white light flaring out across the ring surface. Grameen was a tiny dark speck above its centre. Joshua fired the restraint bolts, taut silicon fibre cables, tethering the Lady Macbeth to its rock shield, recoiled from the hull, writhing in serpentine coils. Lights inside the four life-support capsules dimmed and sputtered as the one active auxiliary generator powered up the four remaining primary generators. Iron thrusters fired, hosing the dark rock with unaccustomed turquoise luminosity. A sphere of plasma inflated at the center of the white shroud thrown across the ring, fast at first, then slowing when it was 5 kilometers across, diminishing slightly. Black phantoms migrated across its surface. Grameen's lower hull shone brighter than the sun as it reflected the diabolical corona seething 4 kilometers below. Thousands of fragmented rock splinters flew out of the heart of the fusion blast, overtaking the disbanding plasma wave. They had the same riotous glow of doomed meteorites caught by an atmosphere. Unlike the plasma they left behind, their velocity didn't fall off with distance. "Generators online," Sara called out. "Power output stabilizing." Joshua closed his eyes. Datavide displays filled his head with technicolor dragonfly wings. Lady Mac cleared the rock. Her radar started to fire hard microwave pulses at the loose shoal of ring particles, evaporating snowflakes and inflaming carbonaceous motes. Beams of blue-white radiance shone out of the secondary reaction drive nozzles, rigid as lasers. They started to rise up through the ring. Dust currents splashed over the monobonded silicon hull, producing short-lived surf bloom patterns. Pebbles and larger stones hit and bounced. Ice splattered and stuck, then slipped downwards to fall away in the turbulent glare of the drive exhaust. A rock chunk crashed into the Grameen, shattering its hull open and decimating the internal systems. Cryogenic tanks ruptured, white gases scintillating from the dying fusion bomb's energy barrage. Four life support capsules raced out of the destruction, charred null-therm foam flaking away, emergency beacons blaring. Lady Mac cleared the ring surface. 50 kilometers above her, a wave of scarlet meteors streaked across the starfield. "Stand by for high G's," Joshua said. The fusion drives came on, tormenting the abused ring still further. Lady Mac tilted round and started chasing down the inside of the tapering orange rectitube in Joshua's mind. He monitored the displays to ensure their course was aligned correctly as the G-forces built, then datavised an extra order into the flight computer. "Joshua, what?" Ashley's startled voice faded away as the bridge trembled softly. The last combat wasp left its launch tube. "Watch it coming, shitheads," Joshua purred. Jesus, but it felt good to see the vector lines emerge as the submunitions separated, purple threads linking Lady Mac with a tumbling wreckage. It took 8 seconds for the submunitions to reach the Grameen's life support capsules. A stipple of kinetic explosions boiled above the ring for a few scant seconds before the vacuum absorbed them as effortlessly as it did all human-born pollution. The inside of the homestead cabin was even worse than J. Hilton imagined hell must be like. She wouldn't let any of the other children go outside, so they had to use buckets in the small second bedroom when they wanted to go to the toilet. The smell was atrocious, and it got viler every time they opened the door. To add to their woes, the heat had reached a zenith which even Lalonde had never matched before. They had opened all the shutters as well as the door, but the air was solid, motionless. The cabin's timber creaked and popped as the frame expanded. The physical ordeal was bad enough, but Jay felt so agonizingly lonely, too. It was stupid. There were 27 children crammed in around her so tight you couldn't move without nudging someone. But she didn't want other kids. She wanted Father Horst. He had never done this before, not leave them alone for a whole day, and certainly not at night. Jay suspected Father Horst was as scared by the night as she was.